This is WCRS-FM, Columbus Community Radio. My name's Mike, and this is Hashtag Cult. Let me tell you a little bit about how this program is going to work. It's going to be about cults. Now, you may say, what is a cult? You may be worried that someone's going to come on here and accuse your religion of being a cult. Absolutely not. Let me explain what my background is so that we can get on the same page about cults and what this show is going to be. And you're going to be a part of the show, too. You're going to be able to call in and talk to me about these very things, because I have a feeling you're going to relate to what we're saying. I am not an expert. Let's start there. What do I mean by I'm not an expert? A lot of things by that. First of all, cults are a very wide field. So there are actually a lot of people who qualify as experts, mental health professionals who deal in this stuff. You have archaeologists, you know, people who study humanity, anthropologists, they don't count because I made that word up. But a lot of people, there's a huge range because of what cults are and have been that can be considered experts. All that being said, I am not one. I am a journalist. That's what I do. I talk to people. I investigate stuff. I have investigated cults as a part of documentaries. And the reason I wanted to make this show, and I'll explain this every single episode, is I talk to a lot of people who call themselves quote-unquote cult experts. And I vet them. I vet them and I make sure that they are cult experts, that they have stuff. And sometimes we talk to them and they're not cult experts and we cut them out. I've talked to organizations who are quote-unquote cult help organizations, cult therapists. And then I've talked to the people. I've talked to the people on the street who have heard of cults. I've talked to you who's watching a documentary or listening or watching my documentaries. And every single time I've noticed the exact same thing. The experts have a very specific definition. They have a very specific definition, which is a part of my project. I've sort of codified into a single phrase. And then the people, they have learned nothing. Honestly, unless you are in a cult or you're a journalist working on this stuff, the public at large has a completely different definition, even if they've watched stuff that these cult experts have been in. To me, my definition, after doing this project and talking to the experts and then talking to people to relay a message, which is what a journalist does, cults are groups, organizations, or people that want and have unbridled control of another person. So this can be all the way from a coercive relationship or an abusive relationship, all the way to, you know, big organizations scamming you for money, wanting to take over your life, living somewhere in a compound, whatever it may be. So there are lots of different definitions out there for cults, but our goal here is to bring to you the ideas that all these experts have told me over the years. Hey, this is the stuff to not look out for, but this is what happens. These are the things in life that happen to you that someone's going to get inside your head and make you feel pressured, make you feel bad about yourself, make you feel like if you don't belong, if you don't try and make an effort to belong here, well, that says something about you and they get in your head. And that's not true. You're all great. Unless you're not great, you might not be great. But you don't deserve to be controlled by somebody else. So today we're going to talk about one of the most common, in my opinion, idea. And that is, again, in my opinion, wait, before I give you what we can talk about and call about on the air. And as always, call in about whatever. Call in about how if you just need to talk to somebody, call in. This does not, because I'm not an expert in cults, we just want to hear from you and hear what you're going through. But we do have a topic today, and those people are going to be given top priority. But let's go back to why I'm not an expert. One of the big things these groups do, one of the big things abusers do, one of the big things narcissists do, is they decide they are the smartest person in the world. And we'll have to do a whole episode about that as well. This idea of the expert. And as a journalist, I've always said, I want to be the dumbest guy in the room because I want to be able to ask every question and learn it from the ground up and be able to explain it to someone who knows nothing. If I'm doing a documentary about burgers, I want to be able to explain it to somebody who's lived under 200 feet underground. They're a mole person. They're only part human, part rodent. I don't know that a mole is a rodent. They might be echidnas. You can call up with that as well today, but they're another species and they've never seen burgers. They don't even know what plates are. That's how I want to be when I make a documentary. Narcissists, weirdos, bad people, manipulators, abusers. They are the center of knowledge. So when I say I'm not an expert, it holds a lot more weight than I don't have a PhD in psychology, than I'm not an anthropologist, than my only experience with cults is the people in my life who have been through it and supporting them and the experiences I've had as well, and being a journalist and learning about this stuff. The goal here today is to relay what the experts say, and hopefully some of them will call in from time to time to help answer questions. But for today, all we're going to do is talk about one specific element of being controlled in your life. And again, I'm not going to give you mental health advice. Guess what? I don't know that I have perfect mental health. In fact, a lot of doctors have said I don't. I'm not a therapist. Talking to someone is nice, but it's not the be-all and end-all of solving your issues, and I'm not the be-all and end-all of knowing any of this stuff. And anyone who says they are the grand authority on anything, beware this person. Beware this person. Because big authorities, people who want to be the expert, who can't stand to ask questions, they are, honestly, it's a big part of the problem in this world, just in general. And that's a belief I have. Today, we're going to talk about one of the most common, in my opinion, elements of coercive control and cult ideas and cult mentalities, and that's scams. So, although this is not the most severe, it can be. Scams are more prevalent than ever. The word scam comes from something I didn't look up. I wanted to talk about confidence, man, and then I realized that the word, I don't know what the word scam comes from. Man, we'll have to look that up. But, you know, we have confidence men who want to get confidence from you, want to gain your confidence, your faith in them, in order to trick you into doing something. And in my opinion, that's the most basic idea of cults, and it's the most common that everyone runs into. You know, from there goes, you know, financial abuse, elderly abuse, relationship abuse, and then into organized cults, hashtag cults, which is a term I invented, the whole gambit. But it starts with scams. I think everyone in their life is going to try and get scams. And parents try and warn you about scams. Your coworkers, your teachers, everyone is aware of scams. And right now, scams are more prevalent than ever. And I can prove that to you. We have gotten used to the idea that we are going to get spam. We get thousands of emails of spam every day. Phishing alerts. There's entire industries dedicated to stopping the literal millions of attempts to scam and steal your information every single day, to trick you. How does this relate to cults and mental health? If you've ever been scammed, if you've ever tried to be scammed, you know that you didn't start this experience thinking, I'm desperate, I have nothing, I need this help, and it's only going to be from this person, and wow, I've been praying for an opportunity just like this. You start maybe with some of those thoughts in your head, but it's the scammer that makes you think something bad will happen to you if you don't do this. Makes you think something really good will happen to you if you do this. And it never has anything to do with reality. And there's not a lot of questions being asked. There's not a lot of truths being told. You're being tricked into thinking something is real, and then they're wanting something from you. That's the basic of how a cult works. That's the basic element of how someone who wants to manipulate you will control and take over your life, a scam. I personally have been scammed. I'm an artist and documentarian. I come from the art world. There are dozens of scams. I was a part of a group that was distributing films. I was not a part of it. I tried to use the service. And it was famous that they just lied. They just weren't distributing the films. And I became hip to it before the sort of prosecution and the shutdown of these people. And, you know, I refused to pay their fees. And lo and behold, like, if you get your house fixed and you refuse to pay your fees, someone asks for the fees. Lo and behold, in this case, standing up to the scammer stopped them right away. Because they had gained my confidence, though, and because I almost did pay them, and because I did think I was going to pay them, I felt really humiliated. I felt like an idiot. I felt so dumb that I would fall for it. But the thing that I always think of with scammers, and the thing that I think of with abusers, that's really hard to handle, is you and I are good people. I know you are. If you're listening to the show, you're a good person. We go around in life and we think, oh, how can I be nice to this person? Oh, I hope I don't interfere with this person. Oh, what a lovely thing that person has done. And I've got to go home and, oh, fix this thing. And I've got to go home and do that. The abuser, the narcissist, the cult member trying to coerce someone else into their cult, they're doing those things too, but they're spending all day trying to think of how to get you. Oh, I'm going to go home and do this. How can I turn that activity into a way to scam, trick, or coerce X person? Oh, that's a really nice thing that other person did. How can I use that? I bet I can use that to make somebody else follow me or feel bad for me or listen to me and control them in a way. The scammers, they spend all day thinking how to scam you. And so you don't have to be some idiot to get scammed. You are not working at being a professional criminal, a professional abuser all day. So it's hard to accept that, yeah, there's a possibility that somebody is out there thinking of exactly of a way to trick you, because that's what they're working at all day, and that they got in. The fact is that the reason I started this show was so that we could talk about these ideas, so that people could hear about scams, not when they're scandals. So you can hear about cults, not when they're scandals, but to say, oh yeah, you're going to try and get scammed. Here's the face of it. Here's how it feels. Here's how I avoided it. So if you've been scammed, if you've been coerced into a business thing, if you felt pressured to buy something in any way, you know, call up and let's talk about it. We're going to open the phone lines now, and that's going to be our topic for today. Our topic for today is going to be scams. But again, I'm not a mental health expert, but I do want to listen to you. I'm not here to give advice. Giving advice is a whole other show that we're going to talk about in the future. But I do want to hear from you. If you felt pressured, if the pressure of being pressured is too much pressure, we're going to open up the phone lines now. And the only thing we're going to ask is, please don't use specific names for any time you ever call. I'd like you to be anonymous. I'd like the people you talk about to be anonymous. I'd like the companies to be anonymous as much as you can. What I want to focus on today is feelings, awareness, the idea that we all share in these dangers towards people trying to coerce us, and that's what the show is about. That's what the show is about, is how can you tell other people, don't feel dumb because it happened to you. Here's what happened to me. This was laughable in this situation. This was what this scammer did. Here's the questions I now ask. We're going to open the phone lines up right now.
Right.
Hello, caller. You are on the air. We're talking about scams today.
Hey, Mike. Thanks for having me. Very, very excited to talk scams, because I really believe that everyone is scammed at least once. And then you are, and then you learn everything, right? And then you're like, okay, cool, like I'm 14 now, I know better.
Were you scammed at 14?
Or like I'm 28 and I know better.
Well, that's the thing, right? With scams, there's so many things in life, and this goes with cults too, where it's like we want to believe that our youngness, as like children is where we're vulnerable, right? But it's like you don't get scammed or like
old
into these things,
vulnerable.
Yeah, until you're like in your 20s and you actually have some money to lose, you know? That's where people are actually starting to like, you're actually in more danger thinking you have the world together. Do you remember the last time you were scammed, the most recent or first? I guess, let's go first, now that we talked about being 14.
Right, I was trying to think of like a good present for, you know, one of my friends on his birthday. I think this was like still back in high school, so I was probably like, you know, 16, 17, and I saw this like really, really nice pea coat off of this like, you know, it wasn't like wish.com, but it was like some sort of like sketchy international website. And mm-hmm. I was like, wait, I can buy this pea coat for 30 US dollars, right? Like what? Like real Italian leather or like, you know, whatever. It's not, pea coats aren't leather. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Made of real peas. Yes.
Yeah, exactly. And then, yeah, it was like, oh, shipping's 2 weeks. And then like a month later, I like called and I complained. And then, of course, no one picked up. And like, I think I had to like get on with Capital One just to be like, hey, I was scammed. Give me my money back. And
yeah,
you know, like it sucks.
It's amazing how much like the age of the digitalness, like these credit card companies, as much as they are a part of a problem with scam stuff, you know, I'll throw this out there for everyone. If you report your credit card stolen, the credit card company does not call the police. That crime was just gotten away with. You actually have to separately call the police if your credit card gets used. But on the flip side of it, they do refuse these payments. Like, and it's a great way to not feel, you know, with scams, sometimes it's just monetary. I've had it.
Right.
Have you had this where the opposite happens, where you think, this is surely a scam, and I'm going to keep calling every day. They're trying to take my money. And then it just turns out that the company is lazy and like bad at customer relations, and someone eventually picks up and is like, oh, yeah, it's just going to take us 3 months to get you those socks. That's so funny. Pick up the phone. I have that a lot more, too.
I love that. Yeah, that's – I like that. I like that point of view where, yeah, even if they're just a week late, you just start – you just start complaining and already asking for your money back. I think that's such a fun angle to take.
Well, that's like the way to understand scams, right? Like instantly, as soon as you feel you've been ripped off, you understand how cautious you should have been in the first place and not like, you know, just so trusting, right?
Right. And then, okay, you're shopping online. It's like, okay, how do you prevent being scammed? It's like, all right, well, if it's a new website that you don't know about, then like, see if there's any reviews. And I'm pretty sure there were like reviews for the product, and anyone can just like add a bunch of like 4 or 5 star reviews. And the fact that I saw some 4 star reviews, I was like, oh, well, this must be real, because people are like, okay, this is good, but not great, right? Like,
yeah. Yeah. The I've talked about this before. The idea of reporting mediocrity on the internet is an insane idea to me. So, right, you have to have so many people interacting with it that someone would be like, this is decent, not great. I'm not this person's mom being like, oh yes, Brendan makes the best coats in all of Europe. You know, it's like, oh, that's a good way to look at it. We're going to have to let you go, Adam, but thank you so much for calling in.
Of course. No, thank you so much for having me.
Okay, caller, you are on the line. Bill, tell me about, have you been scammed ever in your life?
Yeah, I mean, I have, yeah, I've been in scam situations. Typically, it's, they've been online. Frequently, there's a bunch of, like, Craigslist ads. I don't even know if they're the same organization, but in my case, I'll look for, like, a film job, and it'll be an ad that will have, like, a fairly nice amount of money you are supposed to make. They'll give a fairly detailed rundown of like, these are the jobs you'll do, be kind of flexible, but you'll be able to like work with the camera a lot. You'll be able to travel, all these things.
You'll be able to travel and never have to travel, and you'll work with a camera or not a camera.
Yeah. But it's like, it's all kind of stuff that it sounds like, and it'd be like 4 days and a very reasonable rate to be like, okay, that's kind of nice. You respond to it within like 10 seconds, you get an email.
I've had that on ad stuff. Yeah. 1 second.
And like this super long detailed thing of like, so we're going to need this, super detailed specifics on like what the job's going to be, what they're going to need from you. Are you super down to do this? Like, let us know your address so we can make sure to send stuff to you. But then it's like, then they start getting more like sporadic with their responses. But then one of them is usually the way they like doing it is like, great, can you send us a copy of like a check, just either for our records or then some weird one, like one I came across recently. Like I end up disengaging from them, but it's one of those that like one recently was like offering like there's like this amount of money you'd make, but okay, but so if you might see some money leave your account first, but then that's okay because then we're gonna add some back, and it's like that doesn't make any sense.
So what's so funny is that like when you say all these things, what you know. what is a cult and what is pressure and what is coercion in this world. And the reason we're talking about scams today is because, you know, so much scams and bad people and narcissists and cults are able to disguise wanting to coerce you in stuff that does happen. I am, you know, just to hit on one that was the last thing you said, legitimately, I have dealt with many large corporations. I'm talking big, big companies that are real, that have paid me, that the way they work is they take a deposit from your account. They take a one cent deposit to test the transfer, the back and forth transfer. And that does happen, right? But then when you hear it in the context of never having done something like that before, it sounds like a scam. And so I always say this with con artists and cult people, and from everything I've learned about this stuff, is like, it's evolution, not adaptation. They see something in the world and they don't consciously say, oh, you know, now I can build a scam around that. They might, but it's the thing is like, this exists in the world and it kind of becomes like something they can say and know they can get you on. So that's like a really interesting one. I also dealt with a group in terms of responding right away where they responded so quick on the internet, and they are, I'm not going to say who it is, they are a cult, but they would respond so quick on the internet that almost every internet outlet thought they were scams. Because they would respond to things so, they thought they were spam bots. They respond to things so quickly because they're just, they get enraged and obsessed, and they want to be, you know, responding to these things so fast that they have all these comments go to the spam section. But it's interesting, the confidence man and all these different things, that all the things that they're doing that are professional are leading you down to be like, oh, hey, we're going to steal your money eventually.
Yeah.
But
you know, I was gonna say, like, yeah, because each one of them, it seemed like they were kind of evolving off the last one, where like it would take longer and longer for them to try to get to the part where, all right, now this is when we need to trade funds, kind of thing. Because this didn't just happen. It wasn't like I got hit by three like within a day. It was like, I think they were even months to even one was like a year apart. And like the first one was like by like the 30 now, they're trying to ask for money. Then it's like by the fifth, and then like by like the seventh, where like they seemingly almost seem like they're answering your questions, but in like the vaguest way possible. Or it'll be one of those ones where when they answer a question, they'll either forget a part they said before, they'll contradict stuff they'd previously said, answer one part, and then contradict another bit and be like, all right, this is getting even more convoluted. And it's like, but it seemingly like in some ways it's like, okay, but they still haven't asked for money yet. So it's like, I guess this could just be someone who's bad at email, maybe? Like, I get that.
And
there is, I think, a fault on my part, but it's kind of like it's okay, well, they haven't done anything super weird yet. They're getting like bad at email apparently, but they haven't like officially done the big grab yet.
And this is why we're starting with scams. We're starting with things that are easier to understand emotionally in terms of cults, right? We're all used to this. The person who comes up to you in life and seemingly is being friendly, and then it evolves. They want more information. And as you're going along the way, nothing is suspicious. It's only towards the end that everything that was nice that they did ended up that they wanted something from you. Everything that was kind that they did was trying to pry information from you. And so it's this thing that we're all used to, and that is a real indicator of coercion and all those different things is, you know, you're sitting out there right now, maybe as a business person, being like, well, am I interacting with people in this way? No, probably not. You're probably not saying to people, trying to trick them into doing business with you. You're trying to create business around what you do. It's the intention. There's a difference between formality, talking to someone and trying to get, you know, friendly and get to know them and get comfortable and tell them about your idea so that they don't feel like you're just a salesman out of nowhere. That's a technique that some people like. But then there's the fact that from the beginning, the intention was, I'm going to take your money. Everything I'm saying is fake. You know, ask questions. That's a great one that relates to cults and scams as an idea of cult things to watch out for in life. You ask questions and how would they respond? Like, let's say you say, oh, do I have to have my own computer? How would they respond to that?
I have to have my own computer?
No, like you ask the scam artists, like, what were you said that you asked questions and they wouldn't really answer. Like, let's say,
there'd be certain ones of like, so where like do you have a main office? And then it'd be like they'll respond like, oh, it's almost entirely remote. Occasionally we'll need you to mail stuff. And it's just kind of like one of those, yeah, it's like, okay, if it's remote and I need to mail stuff, like how, what? Like, if you're mailing it to me, why am I then mailing it further? Or be something like along the lines of like, all right, I have these kind of products, but we'd really prefer you kind of go out and get these products, kind of like go into this specific brand or something.
Mm.
And it'd be like, yeah. And even kind of like, I was even thinking going off of what you said of like, yeah, like not everybody's like business practices are this. Cause even as you said, how like you've dealt with companies that are like, all right, let's do a 1 cent transfer. Like this was $450. And it's kind of like,
that's well, that's an easy test.
Yeah. And it's like, that's ridiculous. Like I understand the 1 cent transfer to like, I the idea of that, but yeah, not $450. Like that's a number. Not even 400. 450. Like it's just like, all right, no.
I'll pass this on to people because it sounds like you're a filmmaker. So being a journalist and being a little bit journalisty is something we can all do in life. I'm reminded of a scam where someone was doing this promotion. For a project, they wanted to do a promotional thing for us, and we'd had two similar offers in the same week. The first people, it was easy to dismiss. They wanted a huge amount of money to help with this movie that was coming out, and they wanted like $4,000 or $5,000 to promote this very small movie. It was not even feature length, you know. And they had come forward to us. It was like that was easy to dismiss. The second one was not as easy. They were trying to propose some other kind of business plan and perhaps being waffly and, like you said, delaying, and probably delaying in retrospect to get money from me. But they had a business. They had a business and they said where they would locate it and they claimed those things. Everyone, you can search businesses on the internet. You can search where the company files from. You can search where the offices are from. You can search addresses and things like that. Companies will claim to be somewhere or have an address or have a mailing address. Search that stuff, because this was as easy as saying that company, your company name doesn't exist in the state you claim to be in. It doesn't exist in any state. And there is a company in your state. It's not you. They do something totally irrelevant. And the address you said is like a computer warehouse that stores like old computer parts. And I called them and you're not in the building. It doesn't hurt you to look into people. I don't know what, I'm not going to make assumptions about what it is that as people as we don't do it. I think it's just wanting an easy life is the reason we don't do it. But be a little suspicious. Look into any info they give you. Try and get more info than you get. But there's a fine line, right? Like I've also had situations where I ask for information from people and they think I'm the scammer because I'm like, hey, where's your office? Something simple like that.
One of the last ones that I dealt with, I did do like a deep dive of research because I even kind of like, I did like kind of like a generic lookup online of like, how do you find if a company's fraudulent? And like one of them, like the big one was like, a lot of them won't have a physical building, but this place did. And finally after like, and I was like, I looked up this company. It's like the name seemed to exist, but like, I was finding a lot of like in the about page of who was in the company, it'd be the exact same photo of it. Like I'd look up like the people in the company and it would never appear on like, they wouldn't appear on social media. They wouldn't appear on LinkedIn or be the exact same photo in every single place they were. And I finally looked up the building and I found out the building was actually like a scam building. Like this building is known for housing these bogus companies. I'm like, there we go.
Just
like
some like dirtbag owns it and that's what it does from now on.
And yeah, and I think it's like they just kind of, they swap out their name every couple of years, but it's the same process. And yeah, and just like, yeah, and it's like, I guess it's like cluing in on certain things they say. Like the initial one that like, because I went in for like a first interview with this group, and like one of the ones of like, they're like, oh yeah, we work with a lot of big name companies, but we're not allowed to put them on our website. And it's kind of like the, I feel like if you're working with big name companies, they'd want to splash their name everywhere. Like that. That doesn't make any sense.
And I've seen the reverse too.
Why would they want to hide the fact they work with you?
I've seen the reverse too, where they show names and I'm like, I've seen those names somewhere else. This is definitely not true. We have to let you go, Bill, but please turn your radio back on and hear what I'm going to say about that whole thing, because lying is a big element of life in general. And thank you for calling up.
Yeah. Absolutely.
This caller on Hashtag Cult is a very special one to me. She is someone who works with us on our podcast version of this show. She's a mental health professional. She actually helps people. We've been talking about what an expert is. She is someone I consider an actual expert in this field of mental health. Rachel Kolchevsky, scams, how they work into mental health. What do you think about that?
Oh, well, I mean, I see all kinds of scams, and I think we could just really start looking at it from how you have like armchair psychology and pop psychology. You know, everybody's just trying to understand things in a certain way. And when people are feeling insecure about a subject, especially when it comes to something as nuanced as mental health, they're going to attach themselves onto any promise. There will always be somebody who's going to try to exploit it. I see scams a lot.
I've said this before, is that there's so many, when I go and I do guests on the show, on other podcasts, and when I talk on other shows and talk about my project, they even set you up to feel like a good host sets you up to be like, well, what's your expertise on this? And it's really like, I'm the person being like, I'm a journalist. I'm just writing this stuff down. I'm not an expert. But the world is kind of set up to be like, hey, you're an expert now that you're bold enough to talk about it outside of your own space. I see it a lot too in mental health. How does lying, you know, that's what I think is at the heart of scams, right? Like being lied to, feeling lied to, deception, you know, how does that work into us feeling safe kind of after the fact?
Well, okay. If you could clarify on the question, how does lying? Yeah, please clarify.
How do people respond? Because, you know, with scams, the model is this, is that someone lies to you and then you figure it out later. You know, how do we cope mental health wise with feeling lied to, feeling deceived after the fact? How do we come around to feeling okay with that?
Some of us don't. You know, like, first, the way these scams work is by providing a little bit of truth. And so I think that when people who are inclined to recover from feeling scammed or being scammed quite easily will recognize that, like, they're not responsible for other people's exploitative or predatory behavior. And so they'll be able to really see that they're not the ones responsible for being scammed. It hurts to feel a little foolish. It hurts to feel like you're naive or gullible, you know, but at the end of the day, you're not the person who committed that awful behavior, right? You didn't do something morally wrong. You were just duped. And they were professional dupers. These are people that do this on purpose.
Yeah.
So learning to alleviate that stress from yourself can be very helpful.
Yeah, I think I have a problem. You know, I have OCD, and so I have a big problem feeling stupid sort of before it even happens. So it's only worse than when, like, you think you're on top of things and you have this hypervigilance, and then you also get kind of duped in the end, and you feel dumb, you know? It's hard to talk about, I think, sometimes, too. Do you find that... what's the easiest way? I don't want to turn this into mental health advice, but what's been your experience with being able to say, like, yeah, I was tricked and I feel stupid? Is that something that people come to easily?
You know, they don't come to it easily, but sometimes saying it out loud is the thing that helps the most. You know, because it's holding on to the shame and keeping it a secret that makes it the hardest. When you can say out there and be like, I feel stupid, you know, I feel really stupid for falling for this, it kind of takes the pressure off. And you always hear from other people like, oh, yeah, these are all the mistakes that I have made, too. You know, but everybody has been duped. Right. And the thing is, like, what's so bad about feeling stupid? You're not a bad person. You didn't hurt anybody. Right. Like, you didn't cause pain in the world. You just did something where you ended up being the victim of someone else's harm.
Yeah.
So if that's what makes you stupid, then let's all be stupid. Right? Let's not be harmful. You know, so I'd rather be stupid than cause harm.
Yeah, that's a great way to put it, because like I think that that's the thing that people will sometimes, you know, say like, oh, you know, that to console you, it's like, you know, oh, you weren't being stupid, you know, you were being kind. And I've been that person too, where it's like, you have this hard time being vigilant and mixing that with being trusting and having like a happy life, you know? So it's like, mm-hmm. you can't just walk around your whole life being like, oh, I don't trust anybody. But at the same time, you don't have to trust everybody in everything that you do. But yeah, do you do a lot of like, in terms of the saying that you feel stupid, do you personally do a lot of self-talk? Like I know I do. That's helped me a lot with feeling this stupidness, like saying stuff out loud.
Absolutely. I personally, I'm constantly talking to myself out loud. First of all, it helps that I live alone. that is helpful. But many times when I have spiraling thoughts, it helps to isolate some of those thoughts and then say them out loud to realize how absurd they actually are to me. So I'll say something like, I have a thought that, you know, I'm never going to get through this. Or I have a thought that, you know, I'm a complete failure. And then when I say it out loud, it's so much easier to refute the point because I know that I'm going to get through whatever it is. And I know that I'm not a complete failure because I'm a success in many things that I have chosen to succeed at. So once I say it out loud and I externalize it, right, and I say I have a thought, I separate it from myself, but I also don't let my mind have all the time to spiral. I stop it from spiraling by having to say it out loud.
Yeah, it puts a face to it. I know that like when I spiral into these things of like, then this thing causes this thing and this thing causes this thing, it does help sometimes to be like, well, what's actually happening right now? Mm-hmm. And that kind of puts words to it, what you're saying, like, you know, is that statement actually true? And even like I relate a lot to what you're saying, I'm a complete failure. It's such a great thought a great thought to go right into a spiral, right? Because there's no real evidence for it. So it's great that if you lean into like, oh yeah, I'm a complete failure because of this, that, and this, and that, and that. Well, it's like, as if you start to examine like complete as a word, or failure as a word, and you're like, well, exactly. Like, it starts to break down, but it's a wonderful one. Oh, I can so, that's a great one to get behind, because it's like, you can count all your failures, but then it's like, okay, but I'm also like, still alive, and I'm successful in these other ways, and I've done this and done that.
And also, who defines success and failure is the next question. So when I do social justice work, and that usually helps a lot for, you know, marginalized people, but hey, you know, like, less marginalized folks really like it too. It's the idea of like, so your job isn't what you want it to be and you didn't get married and have kids, so you're a complete failure, but like you don't even want that. You don't even want your job. You don't even want kids. You don't even want to get married. So, you know, like, how are you a complete failure? Like, which litmus test are you taking? You know, like, how are you measuring this? And yeah. So when we start challenging, like, what are our values? And then you could start really seeing what's important to you as opposed to what's important to everybody else.
Yeah.
And really start measuring yourself based on what's important to you.
The confidence man as a person really likes the comparative thing. The idea that there is this fictional outside dream that you don't even know you want, or is able to see those dreams and be like, oh, you know, they play off that stupidity in a positive, to be like, as mm-hmm. in an action happening. They'll say, you know, oh, like, that's easy to do. How could you have not done it so far? It's this like victim blaming idea that like, oh, you're not dumb because you haven't done these things. You're dumb because you just didn't know that my way of doing it is so easy, and how you're so dumb for trying your way. God, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, you wasted so much time and money not listening to me.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a really great scam move too. Like, I know this from like people who train people to be coaches will tell you, you need to make people think that they need you, that like they can't do anything without you, and that you have, you know, the solution for them. And it feels so disingenuous when you're on the other side, when people are trying to teach you how to basically scam other people.
Yeah. Yeah. And this is saying, these types of, unlicensed kind of therapy things that are to make you feel better. And that's a great point to, I think, end on this idea that there are these people trying to, and I think our next episode is going to be about advice, because it's such a great thing to see how something that sounds so nice, like, you know, I'm going to be your coach, is then all of a sudden turned into, wait a minute, advice also can equal control. If your advice is the Absolutely. Only advice, that's control. Rachel Klichevsky, thank you so much yes. for being here today. This is great. Let's both self-talk to, are we both, let's see, am I a complete failure at this interview? I don't think so. Did you think this was a complete failure of an interview?
I think this was a very nice interview.
Okay. Well, there we both go. So now now we'll come back next week and see if we could somehow feel bad about this interaction. It's like mental health is like the comic book superhero of the thinking world. It's like, find out how it's all gone bad next time. Well, previously, but now I've convinced myself that actually I made Rachel angry. Next week.
All right, let's see. Let's see if you can do it.
I don't you underestimate my ability to put myself down. I will prove you wrong every time. Thank you, Rachel.
My pleasure.
Colt, the radio show. Adam, you are on the line. Scams.
Yeah. You know, being a victim of one, or watching a family member being a victim of one, is really terrible. Particularly when, you know, you have no recourse. Like, I've been scammed, but it was my own damn fault, you know, and I couldn't blame anybody but myself. So,
what was the scam? Without saying any specific names, what was the business? What was the?
Well, this was more like a purchase done on a street in a foreign country that did not go my way. I was lied to and then already drunk at the time when it happened. Scams of that nature are your own damn fault. But then, you know, I'm also remembering a time when, what was it? It was an email phishing attempt. No, not email phishing. It was a phone call. Somebody phoned my grandmother pretending to be me. They just used a masculine voice that obscured it enough, because, you know, I'm sure your listeners are aware of this. This is like a common
this is a very common scam.
You target the elderly pretending to be a family member asking for bail money or something, and it's always like, oh, I would have called mom and dad, but I don't want to get in trouble, so I went to you instead, grandma. Like, really playing on their sympathies, you know. That actually happened to my grandma, but she
was wily enough.
Well, she called. I'm trying to think. She might have actually given up a little bit of money, but called afterwards to be like, "Is Adam okay? What happened?" And we were all like, "What the hell are you talking about? Adam's fine." And then she explained that she got this call, yada yada, and we were like, "That call never happened. You have been a victim of a scam." So, like, that, you know, that's just kind of like,
this also happened to my grandmother, and really? My family being inconvenient and a pain in the butt, they called again, us again, to be like, well, what do I do? What is this thing? And where is it going? And, like, you know, was actually less reassuring that they got their way out of the scam, and was like, less reassuring to say, like, okay, if this was real, you would be this annoying and, like, very unhelpful. So it's kind of like a double-edged sword. It's like, good job, grandparents, getting out of the scam. Bad job if this was a real emergency. Because
that is like some Coen Brothers kind of thing. Like, just like very heightened. Just like, yeah, we'll cooperate with the ransom. Just make it so irritating that the kidnapper bails.
Yeah. It was like that. It was like, well,
it's going to be Fargo season 5.
Don't call grandma if you actually need bail money. It was like, this is going to be a huge problem if they do. Yeah. I mean, elderly scams are really interesting, because, like, you can always find, like, at a certain point in your life, you don't need to do as much on technology. And then, like, you can kind of narrow it down to what resources they'll do. You know, I've seen, I don't know if you've seen this too, with our parents' age of generation, the I have your files scam. you know, and I'm going to release your files. And I've known people that have been a victim to that, and it's just not real. You know, it's just
of course
not.
No, but for these scammers, it's a numbers game. They'll send the same message to 100 email accounts, and they only need one person to pay up because they're scared, you know. And even if 99% of people are smart enough, it's not a matter of intelligence. It's you know, even smart people can get fooled by that kind of thing. Actually, some of these phishing attempts over email, you see they're obvious because, like, they've got misspellings or things like that, or just, like, weird punctuation grammar. But I've read that that's actually a deliberate, like, spear phishing reason. They do it deliberately. Like, the people who don't catch typos and things like that, our guests are the people who are more likely to fall for the scam to begin with.
Interesting. See, because I used to, this is the thing about typos, I have a hard time spelling sometimes. And I used to, when I would notice that, like, when I would have a typo in something, I would be like, oh no, got to go back and fix it. But there would be more of a response. I wish I was like making this up from what you said. And like, it sounds like I'm just making it up whole cloth, but there would be, it would make me feel worse about wanting to be better at checking spelling because there would be more of a response to the one with like, you know, watch our flom instead of film, you know, people want to watch floms, not films. So pretty bizarre stuff.
That's interesting. Maybe it just like seems too robotic when everything is actually, you know, correct in an email.
Surely a robot won't spell it wrong. How many spam calls do you get a day out of interest?
I don't know, fewer now that I updated my phone and my phone is better about blocking them. But now they actually say potential spam on them. Let's see. I mean, I'm just scrolling through my cell phone here. I've got tons of missed calls and potential spam, like, I don't know. More than once a day, I would say like eight times a week or more.
Crazy. It's crazy. That's why I wanted to do this episode about scams. It's like so prevalent. It's not like it's worse than ever, in my opinion. But I guess it's we are now aware of it when it first starts. Let me ask a question, David. Can you actually extend your warranty on your car? I didn't think that was something you could do. I thought that's insurance, an extended warranty. I think that's just insurance.
My favorite is when they tell me that I need to pay up money right now because my car is impounded and I don't own a car because I live in a big city.
Well, of course you don't. It's impounded.
Yeah. I better pay up so I can get back my
Haven't you wondered, dude, where's your car? Dude, where is it? It's not there. It's impounded.
Okay, but what does mine say?
Oh, goodness. Did you understand that specific scene from Dude, Where's Your Car? I did. And an embarrassing moment.
You're a certain age.
You are a certain age and ashamed of it. Okay. That's a great way to end. Thank you for calling, Adam.
Yeah, happy to be a part of this vital conversation. Yes. And I hope that we can be part of the solution.
Thank you. Not the problem or whatever. Okay. Not the solution.
This is going to fix spam, right?
This is it. We did it. Fix it. Yeah, we got it. We got it down.
Excellent.
Wait, hold on. Now that you're on the line, I'm going to talk about this anyway, and I'll let you be on the line for it. I have this sketch I want to do about the significant other of the person who runs the robot dialer. Like them, you come home from work and you're like, my boss, you know, my manager, she sent me like all these emails and kept correcting things. It was just so confusing. And then they are like, yeah, like today the robot called a billion people and I sat here and did nothing and no one answered me.
No, dude, even I'm imagining one of these dudes running a robot call network like out of a studio apartment, and then he invites a girl over.
thousands of computers.
Yeah, like tons of rolls of tape and computers and beeping and answering machines.
So here's the sketch I want to do, is that they come home and they do this stuff, and then you make it a guy, obviously, because who else is running these things? And so the guy's like, honey, I want you to just read this for me. Don't mind if I record. It's like, what? What am I reading here? And it's like, what am I reading? Your auto warranty is expired. What is this for? This isn't for, what are you, you haven't really told me what you do for work. Just read it. It's my thing. I like hearing you read about auto warranty and really commit because I break up with you if you don't read this really, really. Okay. I'm going to let you go. Thank you so much for calling in.
Yeah. Happy to have been a help.
Of course. Again, weren't a help. Goodbye. #ColtTheRadioShow, you are on the line. Scams, what do you got for us?
you know what? I feel scammed every single day when I walk into a gas station and I buy a bag of Doritos.
Go on.
What's it called? The space that they call in the bag that's supposed to protect the chips?
You know what?
Why are we getting more air?
Do you know what's funny? It's the only thing I know about this. I have only one fact about it. But I've been.
You know what? I think it's amazing that just that you even have a fact.
So I have one fact. Thank you. Yes, I do think it's great. I know that when these companies, these big chip companies, deliver to mountain towns, they have a totally separate product because that little bit of air becomes so massive that, like, some companies that don't prepare for it, when the pressure changes, their chips, the bags, just blow up.
They started this process and they were like, dude, we just need to streamline this. Give everybody mountain chips. Everybody is going to get mountain chips because imagine this, like the people that are complaining because they want every single chip in the bag to be triangles. Like I opened my bag. I opened my bag of chips and 2 of the 17 in there were cracked. I demand more air.
You know what? I'll say this too, is that some people have a magic touch with these bags. There are some people who, if I move that bag in the wrong way, every chip is now cracked and trash. But some people can like throw it across the room and it doesn't crack. I know, the empty air. How do you feel when you get that empty air? Do you generally
feel as empty on the inside? I feel like I emptied my pockets for no reason.
I don't know why, like, there's certain foods where it's like, not big enough. If that's, you know, like cereal. Not big enough.
But
no one is eating that
bigger
enough.
Bowls. So, it all worked out.
Then I feel really dumb. Then I pour in all the cereal into one bowl because I'll eat that. I don't know anything about, again, I'm not an expert. I'll say this a million times. I don't know anything about nutrition. But there are two foods which I have no limit on how much I could eat. And I am guaranteed I could eat infinitely. Grapes and cereal. I am not convinced I can get full on either of those foods. I think I could eat my weight.
I'm not convinced family size is large enough.
Yeah.
We need another size.
We need family size is now called just the size. Because you obviously.
It is the size, right?
The size. And then family size should be like. Okay, it should come with, for whoever buys the cereal in a family, because I'm sure everybody knows this, a secret box that you get to keep for your own, because that's what everybody wants. Yeah, because everybody wants their own box of cereal. Nothing's worse than when you're in a big family, and it's like, you open the cereal the next day, and it's like, I don't know what's going
to
be
in it. Yeah. We have to hide. When we bring in the cereal, if we want some for ourselves, we have to hide it from the kids. Because there's cereal themes. There's, the classic cereal killer. They will destroy cereal in a day's time, and then you'll be left without a bowl of Smacks. I don't know.
See, but that proves exactly my point. That's my point about this whole cereal thing. Your child, who is less than half your size, can down a whole box of cereal in a day, no problem, and you fed it other meals.
But
somehow that box size is the right size.
Where credit is at the very least due. When I open that cereal bag, the cereal is all the way to the top.
That's true.
And for that, I can respect them.
Well, thank you.
Doritos, no respect.
You heard it here first, everyone. They are. You'll have to get your cheese covered. I gotta be honest, Chase. There exists no alternative. So I'm pretty sure you can just slam on that brand you want.
We've got to fight the man. We deserve more.
I don't think so. I think it's one of those. I think they do it the best, but that's a matter of opinion. We'll have to call back when there's other cult-related things related to chips. Thank you so much. Thank you for calling in. This is Hashtag Cult, the radio show. You're on the line. You've never been scammed.
I've never been scammed in the typical sense where someone has to get you to buy them a bunch of gift cards and stuff, but... the closest thing was being in a cult, which is in some ways the ultimate scam.
Well, right.
None of like the cuter small stuff.
You don't feel as though, without getting into the cult stuff, do you see the parallels between people coercing you into being scammed and people coercing you into being in a cult? I'm sure.
Yeah, I mean, with scamming, I feel like a lot of the times, like, it's a lot more like cute tricks where it's like I see a lot of untapped markets, you know, where like you, then always the next scam is something where you didn't realize that it was a scam.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
I can't think of a great example, but like, or I used to look for jobs on Craigslist.
Someone already called in with that. One. Yeah, what? Someone called in with a Craigslist a job listing scam.
Yeah, and they post job offerings where you would be getting like pretty good pay that's relatively reasonable but slightly higher than you would get for normal yard work, but they ask if they want to send you. Yeah, right. Like they don't even make it that exorbitant or unbelievable because right. they're learning, unfortunately. But they want to send you like more money or something than you're actually going to get paid, and then you have to send the rest back.
Wow.
And in your head, if you don't know what's going on, you're like, oh, well, they can't scam me because I'm getting their money. But, like, little do you know that in 2 months you're going to have to pay it all back because it was a bad check. And I almost fell for it, too.
You are the second person to call with it. Yeah. The parallels between that and cults are not that far off because, right, cults are promising you enlightenment or a fix to your problem.
Yeah. And usually it's tailored to some newer, like... I don't know, some like new societal ill or something, like some blind spot.
Yeah,
like
they're not still trying to
whatever the hell.
They're not trying to still fix, you know, oh, here's the solution to getting eaten by cougars. You know, most people as a society, we've got that pretty much under wraps.
But if suddenly there was a cougar boom in population and people were getting eaten, I'm sure that there would be people around to profit off of it in some weird spiritual way.
Yeah. Well, thank you for calling in. This was great. This is Hashtag Cult, the radio show. You are on the line. We're talking about scams. What do you have for us?
So I was scammed by a fake job offer about a month ago.
You are the third person today to talk about a fake job offer. So let me know. Yes. What was your fake scam?
So I applied. I went to a website that I usually go to apply for jobs. And I see a lot of job postings there. And I clicked to apply to a job at a pretty big video game company, what I'm looking at for work. And a couple days later, I got an email that said I needed to send an email to someone else in order to get an interview, but that I was going to move on to the next round with this big company. And I was very excited about that. So I sent an email. The next day, the weird thing is it kept taking place over a number of days. Hmm. And so then finally, it's been like, you know, a little less than a week since I initially applied for the job. I'd almost forgotten about it. And then I get this email that says my interview is happening and it's a Word doc with 10 questions on it. And they said, you have to send this back to us, filled out, in 90 minutes.
Oh, goodness.
And I was very confused. And I did post online. I said, hey, I've got this weird interview format. Has anyone seen anything like this where it's just, here's a text document, answer the questions, don't even talk to someone? And people were like, yeah, it's kind of a red flag, but also... It didn't. Some people gave me some encouragement that it wasn't totally unheard of, especially in the tech world. So I thought, okay, and I went along with it. And I wrote the interview of my life. I put so much heart into it. I really
wanted, no!
Yeah, I had such a. I'm still proud of the last question was how do you define quality.
Ooh, let's do it live so that you can, because obviously this ended up being fake. Let me do it for you now. Sir, I'm looking at your I only have one more question to ask you. How do you define quality?
Quality is the tension between expectation and reality.
Wow.
You know,
look, if you hear this and you run a video game company, we can get you. Do you mind? Like, that is a quality winning. Oh, maybe this will get you a job. That is a great answer. Is there more?
I thought it was a really good answer. Yeah, it's the idea that you expect a certain amount of quality based on what what you expect from something, and then whether or not something meets your expectations or fails to meet your expectations is how you would say this is quality, this is crap.
Wow. So this is like, this is a very poignant, you know, you're our last caller for today, but this is a very poignant point about scams themselves, isn't it? Quality, yeah. Quality is the tension between expectation and outcome. What was it? Yeah. Outcome or reality? Outcome.
Reality. Outcome works too, though. That's synonymous in this case.
Yeah.
So I sent the email, and then a day or two later, I got a message. Again, it was after like a day, and it said, congratulations, you got the job.
Okay.
And
now, how big of a company are we talking about? Because that's the part that's going to feel bad here. I mean, huge.
Yeah, one of the big video game companies.
I don't say it, but whew. Okay.
So that's when I was skeptical again, because that didn't seem right. That wasn't much of an interview process, but I let myself after a day or two think, well, maybe. And so I responded, and what they told me to do was that they gave me a big list of equipment that I could buy for myself for my new home office.
Wow. And they were gonna, this is similar to somebody else's scam. Okay, keep going.
Yeah, I have a feeling that a lot of people have had similar scams where they say, we're going to send you a check. You're going to buy all this equipment from a specific vendor. And then you'll go on your merry way. And that's around that time is when I discovered that the email address I had been corresponding with, I looked up that guy online, the person, because I was suspicious, and the person had been posting, hey, someone's using my name. If you see an email address that isn't from my company's email, someone is using my identity. And then I looked and I saw, yeah, it wasn't the actual email address of the company. It was a generic email. And so I caught it, but I actually heard from several other people online who went further, tried to buy the equipment. Of course, the check turned out to be a bad check that they sent, and they ended up having to pay out of pocket for it or something. I didn't get any further into the scam than that, but yeah. It was really heartbreaking.
Yeah. How did you feel afterwards? I mean, we've been talking all day about that. What was your thought then? Did you feel dumb? Did you feel, I mean, this person was trying all day to scam you. What was that other than the obvious letdown of, man, I wanted that job?
Yeah, no, I really felt like a mark. I really felt taken advantage of. I felt stupid. I felt like my... someone had taken advantage of my dreams, because I'm reaching for I'm trying to change careers right now a little bit, and it felt very personal in a way that I don't think it was.
Yeah, this is a great way to end this episode, because these are all, I think those are the quotes to live by. There, the one about what is quality, the tension between expectation and reality, and I'm going to say that with the other one again, someone had taken advantage of my dreams.
Yeah.
I think that those are pretty good ones to end on. Thank you so much for calling in.
Thank you for having me.
Well, that's it. This has been an episode of Hashtag Colt, the radio show. I'd like to leave with some closing words. And we're going to try and do so without sounding so pretentious like we know everything, like always. And if I sound pretentious and like I know everything, call up and tell me I'm stupid. I welcome it. You know, Alex's call, those words are really powerful. Playing with my dreams. There's a theme here, too, that allows me to transition scams into cults. Power. Power is a term that gets thrown around a lot nowadays. Sometimes in a cliched rebel kind of way, the people in power. Sometimes in a cult way, that there's a conspiracy to have people in power take advantage of you. But power is something that people who will scam and coerce you know about. It felt like someone took advantage of my dreams. And you see, Alex did a little bit of research on what was going on and found out that this was a scam happening to somebody else. But I hear tons of stuff all the time about employers, you know, making you jump through hoops, not just in a work way. You know, there's hard jobs. There's plenty of hard jobs out there, and we all have had hard jobs. Maybe you haven't, but you've had pain in the butt bosses. You've had every single piece of bad thing happen to you come at work if you've worked long enough or if you've worked in short enough and in bad enough situations. But that's not what I see. I see these people wanting to be in charge in this weird way, wanting to be a part of your life and take advantage of a thing that doesn't really have anything to do with anything. These personality tests at companies, these, you know, somehow corporate culture sort of thing that goes beyond anything other than tolerance and being nice to each other. That's taking advantage of power. One of the things that I try to push when it comes to the world of cults and functioning as a person in this world and avoiding cults, from what I've gotten from the experts, from the stories I've heard, is beware of people who take, oh, too much pleasure in making you jump through a hoop that they made up. You know, that document, this doesn't seem that weird. I've seen these weird tests that people give out at jobs. Why? Because they are some master of the mind that can evaluate you? I don't think so. I'm reminded of the person who seems to be able to intuit what's going on with their loved ones, is sensing, you know, some deep dark secret inside of them. And sometimes you can be right, but a lot of times someone's just being quiet. A lot of times there's nothing else going on. How many times has that happened to us in our life? Someone thinks they figured us out, and they're just wrong. So when it comes to scams, like all things, do research, but ask questions. And if someone is unwilling to bend, it tells you a lot about who they are. If they're too willing to bend, it also tells you a lot about who they are. Ask, this document was weird that Alex got sent to fill out for this job thing. These requests were odd. And there's no opportunity you're missing out on if this happens. I hear a lot more stories about somebody saying something felt really easy and they didn't have to do much and it turned out to be real because they followed up on it and researched and asked questions. Then I do someone who says, yeah, I had to jump through all these hoops and do all these different things, but in the end it was worth it. I'm being honest, if you employ people, the majority of the time, these weird job scenarios, these weird things where you think there's some test, it doesn't work. It doesn't work. And the way I would say that to you, and the thing that, again, why Alex's words have such impact, someone took advantage of my dream, think about people you're friends with. The people that end up being weirdos and bad people, you didn't know that from when you start. That's where cults and scams and coercion all lies in, becoming your friend. And thinking you can make up a test, thinking you can be so aware that you'll never be scammed and that you'll never be taken advantage of, comes down to one thing. Find out, ask questions, try it out. Because you're never going to preempt any of this. There's no way to prevent scams. You can always scam a scam-proofing test. You can always take advantage. Just as we're talking about the people that were taken advantage by employers today, oh, there's plenty of ways that an employer is trying to do things thinking they don't want any scamming employees, and you can get around that too. You've just got to be around people. You've just got to be around situations to figure out what's going on with them. That's it. It's plain and simple. I think we're going to do an episode definitely down the line on personality tests as well. This brings up the idea of, I'm saying you can investigate people and you can be smarter in your life, which I'm not giving you advice on. We'll get to that in a second. But personality tests are another peeve of mine in the world of stuff you might run into that's on the culty spectrum. Our next episode is going to be about advice. Here's the crux of it. Do you think giving advice is a good thing? I think there's a lot of arguments against it. Was there a time when someone gave you advice and it actually ended up being manipulative? They were tricking you. Was there a time when you gave advice? Call up, you can be anonymous, and you felt you were sort of manipulating someone. This has been Hashtag Cult the Radio Show, brought to you by WCRS Radio, Columbus Community Radio. Thanks for tuning in. See you next week.